Welcome to Just Think, the podcast.
The podcast where we don't want to tell you what to think.
We just want to encourage you to do it.
We are three friends that came from across the political spectrum who were tired of partisan politics and were alarmed at what we saw happening in our country, including the growing political divide.
But we found as we challenged ourselves to recognize our own biases, to put them aside, we were absolutely united in our pursuit for the truth.
And that's why we started this podcast, to share the conversations we were having around that pursuit and to invite you into our conversation.
To encourage you to feel free to ask questions, search for the answers yourself, to say what you think.
That's right, because as we like to say, diversity of thought, ideas, and beliefs are welcome here. Asshats are not.
All are welcome as long as you just think.
Just Think, the podcast. This is Holly
and Amy
and Kristen,
and we're back, guys. I feel like it's been a minute since we've had a conversation.
I know. I've missed y'all.
I know.
Even though we haven't stopped talking,
right?
We miss our friends. Our just thinkers.
Yes. You know what? Too. I mean, our thinkers family. Like it's. We love you guys so much, and it's so great to hear from you and to meet you in person. Like today, I actually had a run-in just before we started recording with one of our listeners, Lisa. So, hey, Lisa, it's always fun to run into you guys and to hear from you and to hear your stories. And anyway, we learned so much from you, and we thank you for giving us that, you know, sharing your stories and information and leads with us and connections that you guys have. Really, it is a community, and we're thankful for y'all. But yeah, I've missed Amy and Kristen's face. I mean, it's summer, and yes. We've been on some vacations, and we're wrangling children and running businesses and running a podcast. So we've been able to take a little time away, but we're back. We're back, and we have so much to talk about. Our listeners know that the three of us are passionate about exposing the broken systems within our society, revealing how the quest for money and power has corrupted so many of them so that they no longer serve us.
That's right. We talk a lot about our broken medical system, and that includes our broken medical insurance system. We believe that it is time we dismantle the broken systems and work together to rebuild new ones that actually serve us.
And that's why we are excited to share an answer we've found as an alternative to your traditional insurance plan that charges you exorbitant monthly payments and deductibles, then asks you to pay even more when you get sick, that controls your medical decisions, including what your physician is allowed to do and prescribe, and that rakes in billions as corporations at our expense.
That's why we love CrowdHealth. We interviewed CEO Andy Schoonover in episode 106, which we encourage you all to check out to learn more. But Andy founded CrowdHealth after experiencing firsthand just how inept and outrageous insurance companies have become.
CrowdHealth is not an insurance company, but a platform and a community that empowers you with a crowdfunding tool and a wealth of resources to efficiently manage your healthcare costs. And it's an excellent alternative to health insurance, allowing us to escape the healthcare matrix and put us and our healthcare providers back in charge.
Ever since my family and I made the switch to CrowdHealth, not only are we proud to be part of a company with integrity, but we love that we are free from the broken insurance system. We will never be part of that system again. We've had nothing but an A-plus experience. From before we even enrolled, we connected with an advocate who answered our questions. Then upon enrollment, we were immediately assigned a personal advocate who is literally a text away anytime I need her. If you follow them on Instagram and Twitter, you will see not only how much they truly care about each of the members, but also how much money they save us. This is why we encourage all of you to go to joincrowdhealth.org to learn more and to use code JUSTTHINK to get your first 3 months of membership for just $99 a month. Again, it's joincrowdhealth.org with discount code JUSTTHINK. You can also reference our Just Think the podcast Substack for more information.
I don't even know where to begin, although what we were supposed to watch the debates together live, or the debate between Trump and Biden together live. Mm-hmm. And I ended up having to go home like the next morning, and so I couldn't. But
Kristen and I had a party.
Uh-huh.
We had a watch party.
You should have heard all the comments coming from us, our husbands, and even our kids.
I was watching it with some kids. So our friends, Chris and Amy, we had gone out to dinner with them, Paul and I had, and then their kids were watching with us. And I was trying to edit everything I was thinking. You know, I was keeping it real PG. And that, but the funniest part was the kids just were like, what is happening?
So
like,
they can recognize.
Yes.
Oh, you know?
They were like, this is a disaster. And like in that moment when Biden just stuttered and just kind of stopped, and it was like silence. It was, I mean, it was so awkward and uncomfortable. Like I felt bad. If I didn't think that Joe Biden was a questionable character when he was in his right mind, I would feel even worse. But I do feel bad. I mean, I feel bad. I think there's some form of elder abuse. I think it is clear he is cognitively not okay.
Which we know for a long time. Can we just marinate on that point that we have been talking about Joe Biden's cognitive decline for years now? And so what we've known, just like everything else, we've known. And it's just now some people are, isn't it baffling that some people are just, that was their first time being like, oh my gosh, there's something wrong.
I mean, we know of a Karen, I'll call her Karen. That's not her name, but we know of one who is an internet troll that we all three know. And she is an internet troll. And I'm not even trying to throw shade at this person. And like, I'm not calling her a name. I'm saying that's what she does. She trolls people on the internet. We see it all the time. She comments. She's a far left person, and she came after Amy a couple weeks ago. I couldn't even read. Amy sent it to me, and at that time, I couldn't even read what she was saying to Amy because I was so pissed already that I thought, if I read this, I'm going to call her, and it's going to go real bad because for reasons we won't share on here, I've had to sort of keep it together with this person. She is just such a toxic human being and so intolerant. Just the irony of the people who call themselves the people of love and acceptance being the most intolerant and intolerable people on the planet. Amy, you want to just share like what her feedback was you regarding, she came after you about Biden just before the debate, guys. So let's go back. This is pre-debate.
I feel like everything in life now is pre-debate, post-debate.
Yeah.
I mean, truly. So I had shared in my stories, do y'all remember when Biden was in France for the D-Day celebration? Okay. And it showed, there was a clip of him. Well, there was that one clip that went around that showed that he was like trying to sit down and then there possibly wasn't a chair, but everybody else was standing and he was like lowering himself, not knowing, you know, what was going on. And then later on, there was a clip that came out where it just showed him abruptly leaving the event with Jill. Like she had him by the elbow and he was like walking off like a robot, that robotic walk that he does, staring straight ahead, no head movements, just very bizarre. Abruptly walking off. And then it pans back over to Prime Minister Macron. Yeah, I don't know if they call
him. From France, yeah.
Where he's just like, oh, and he goes over and he's like greeting just finishing up the event and like talking and chatting with people on the event. So I shared that in my thing and I said, I forgot even what I said. I just said, he's, you know, wow, just like abruptly leaving and it's just bizarre. It was bizarre. I can't remember what my point was.
And I think that the press, Amy, was there were no one on the left wanted to admit this was an issue. Now, and I want to just add, post-debate, they've admitted he was supposed to shake hands with Macron. He was supposed to do a meet and greet. He was.
Right. He was. And I would love to play that for the Karen that hopefully is listening. Hello.
Now, please. I hope you are.
I'd love to play the clip where the New York Times has now admitted that that was unusual. It was bizarre behavior. And he was supposed to stay afterwards and meet and greet and not just abruptly run out with his wife, Jill, dragging him by the elbow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
He wasn't running.
Not running. I'm kidding. Stiffly walking like a robot. But anyway, I posted that. And then she, of course, comes into my DM, slides up in my DMs. And she's like, because it's not true, as per usual, eye roll. Watch the full ceremony instead of following a short media clip. I understand your criticism of MSM, but you do just the same by sharing a 2-second clip without the full context. Okay, so pre-debate, New York Times put out a thing that said, oh, well, he did not abruptly leave. He was, the event was over. He was greeting everybody prior to the event. So it was completely normal behavior for him to just walk off at the, like, as soon as the music started, he's the president of the United States.
Right.
Is out of there. Okay. He's not mingling. That's normal. Right. And then he says, but hey, at least he has proper respect for our veterans and doesn't call them losers and suckers. Mm. That's what she said. So rewind. Apparently there was a point in time when the media ran with this whole Trump called veterans losers and suckers, which mm-hmm. has been debunked, which actually came up in the debate.
It did.
Yeah. He addressed it. Okay.
He never said it.
One person, y'all, one person said it, correct? Right?
One person said that he said it, and then it became this viral thing.
And it was one article, and nobody has ever, there's no video evidence. There's nobody else that is supporting the person saying it. Because we do try to look this up.
Yeah, I was like, well, let's find out if he said this. Like, truly, if he called veterans losers and suckers, like, I'm looking at actions also, and I'm like, nothing to me, everything that he does not spell out to me that he thinks veterans are losers and suckers. He is very much pro-military and pro-veteran. So that's what was like, well, that's kind of bizarre. So I went to go try to find out what the deal was. Anyway.
Well, right. Let me also mention again, Joe Biden in the debate tries to use the Charlottesville story where he said still trying to use it when literally Snopes, which is a left leaning fact-checking organization, admitted Trump never called them very nice people. He never called the racist far-right extremists very nice people. And again, it's taking clips, Karen, which is just the irony of the things that she says. Literally, Karen, first of all, I just want to say, if you are listening, I feel sorry for you. I do. Because you live in a world that's not real. You live in a delusional world that is literally reiterated by the people that you apparently surround yourself with, or the sources that you listen to constantly, because you did not think that Biden had a mental decline. You literally said to Amy you're getting older too. What did she say?
Okay. This Karen is in her 40s, I guess, probably. I would say like early 40s. So let me just read. This is kind of what I said to her. I said, well, you could be right that I'm assuming that since he left abruptly, because it certainly appeared that way in the video, after he arrived at the event looking completely dazed and unaware of where he was, I found the video and he did leave at the conclusion, heavily escorted by his wife. So maybe the video didn't have enough context to it, but it's truly not that he was even leaving abruptly, showing disrespect to veterans that I was concerned with. I didn't even say that. I never said he's being disrespectful to veterans.
Right.
I said it's more the severe cognitive decline on full display and so obvious from his behavior and gait, and regardless of politics, it's concerning. Okay. And then she says, sure, he's moving slower physically on some days. So am I.
She's in her 40s, y'all. Karen.
You got your foot in the grave, girl. No. You better step it up.
And this is also not just moving slower. I mean,
it's not. This is when you just don't want to see what's right in front of your face because of your politics.
Wait a minute. She's probably not seeing it what she is seeing is what a lot of people on a certain side are just watching. And just like CNN, MSNBC, they're all trying to just, they don't show those clips, or they say they're deep fake videos until now.
Until now. So maybe now she'll believe it because her media told her to, right?
You're just not seeing it. Exactly.
Now she can believe it because they told her to. Anyway, she says, did you take the time to listen to his speeches? He sounded pretty articulate to me. My point is, you guys make all these claims against media and people not having all the facts, yet you three do just the same. Walk the walk. I appreciate you admitting you're wrong here with this clip, but I highly doubt you'd post anything to that effect to your followers, admitting to them that you misspoke on this. You all tell people to just think, and that you're not going to tell them what to think, yet that's exactly what you all do. When someone brings you evidence, you dig in your heels further to prove them wrong. I'm not just referring to this incident. It's happened many times before. It's quite ridiculous.
Many times before what? Cite every example.
I want her to
every example.
Please.
Literally, y'all.
By the way, I never responded to that one because I just don't have the mental bandwidth or energy to go back and forth with.
No, she is so toxic and pitiful, and I can't imagine how anyone can tolerate her for more than 5 minutes. And I mean that sincerely. I'm not even trying to throw shade at her. She is just such an unlikable character. And and it's sad. It's really sad. And she's lost.
Well, what's sad is that she's actually likable. Like, she is a likable person. If you believe what she believes.
Yeah, I don't even know if
she agree with her.
Even before we ever talk politics.
She doesn't like you if you don't agree with what she agrees with. She does not like you as a person anymore, which is ridiculously insane.
Well, I think that's what happens with people. Like, I think that.
The tolerant people.
People just need to stop. Like, there are many of our friends that we have different views on things, but we can still be friends. And like,
this yes,
but and she won't. She won't.
And so this is the person. But like, I want to skip forward now. Like, so
well, wait. But before we skip forward, I'm sorry. I want to just finish this off right here.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We're gonna put a nail in this little coffin right here.
Go ahead.
I want to play this for Karen. Hopefully she's listening. Because
I want to skip forward to this stuff. Yes. That's what
remember, so the article said that he did not leave abruptly and all this stuff, right? Then we have the debate. Now the media is starting to tell the truth. So here you go. In case you haven't heard it, here, I'm playing this for you.
Omitted crucial details. Some of the videos of Mr. Biden circulating during this year's campaign are clearly manipulated to make him look old and confused. Okay, so like what? New York Times, walk us through it. This is what they said on June 21st about, let's see, D-Day. This is about the D-Day event in France. They're talking about how he walked out and he didn't stay long enough. Macron was left there to greet all the veterans. And the conservatives did point this out and say he screwed it up and Joe Biden had to take him out. So this is what they report on June 21. He was escorted out of an event by his wife, Jill Biden, when President Emmanuel Macron of France stayed behind to greet veterans. But then the point the Times wants you to know is a longer video showed Mr. Biden greeting veterans before his exit and then walking out with Dr. Jill. Okay, so they're basically saying he greeted the veterans. He just did it before his exit, so calm down. Now, on July 2nd, there was an awkward moment when Mr. Macron made sure the president got safely down the ramp. Okay, it was awkward? Why didn't you tell us that before? And then came back up to shake all the veterans' hands. Mr. Biden had been expected to stay for the handshakes. Why didn't you tell us that before? You didn't tell us that. You tried to dismiss it like it was nothing. He seemed confused at points during the D-Day anniversary ceremony in France on June 2nd. None of that was in the original Don't Believe the Cheap Fakes reporting, Steve.
The entire cheap fake narrative, and that is truly what it was. It was this crafted artificial narrative that was created to try to spin this video and several others, which I know we're going to talk about. And it obviously all blew up on Thursday night, but it wouldn't have if Joe Biden had even a C-minus debate. I mean,
A C-minus debate. It wouldn't have blown up. Hey, Karen, did you hear that? So you were wrong. Amy was right. And we're not retracting shit because she was right. Okay? And so guess what, Karen? If there's all these things that you know we've been wrong about, send it. And please, if you can prove we're wrong, we'll put it out there. Here's the thing. You're not going to because you don't know what you're talking about. And also, if we never hear from you another day in our lives, it will be too soon. Okay,
and you may
that's all I have to say.
Ask the New York Times for an apology. How about that? Maybe you need an apology from them because they have been lying to you. They lied to you and you fell for it and they owe you an apology, not me.
Well, let me just go back too.
They need to turn their hatred not towards us,
but
to the people who have been lying to them and hiding this from them the whole time.
But they don't think that. They don't think that. This is what I can't understand. It is literally, it's like 1984. I never realized how true that book could be, how accurately it could predict what can happen when it says, don't believe your lying eyes. When the media says, don't believe your lying eyes. It's like, yeah, you're seeing it, but it's not true. They live in that world. Like Karen lives in that world 24/7. I can't imagine what that's like to live in a world where your lived experience isn't real. You're waiting on someone else to tell you what's real. It's considered insanity. Right. And listen, there are so many people I disagree with and I love them. It's about not being a toxic Karen. That's That's what it's about. You don't have to be that way. Your life cannot be enjoyable. It cannot. There has got to be such a lack of joy in your life for you to project what you did onto Amy. And it is sad. And I am telling you, I hope I never have to deal with her again. But if I do, like, she's the kind of person, though, that like brings out a side of me that's not even good. Like, it's not. I don't want, like, I want to talk to her if she could have a normal conversation, which she clearly can't. But instead, it provokes something in me that just makes me want to, like, drive to her home, drag her out on the lawn, and settle it. Like, that's not good. That's not right. That's not mature. That's, like, a terrible side of me. She brings out a bad side of me, which is why I'm not even.
That's how most sane and normal people, if they see something that they don't agree with that somebody posts, what do?
Scroll.
They scroll on that. They might roll their eyes to themselves and be like, oh, Lord. But, like, this girl spends her life trying to pick arguments and like show, you know, just be hateful and condescending and rude to people. She's rude.
She's a horrible person.
Mean. Anyway, more of my time can be wasted on her.
But we do have to say, not about her, but just talk about the press to reiterate and put a nail in that coffin about how the press lied to all of you about Joe Biden. Joe Scarborough, MSNBC.
Sharp as a tack.
Oh, here he is.
Okay. Tape right now, because I'm about to tell you the truth. And F you if you can't handle the truth.
F you.
This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever. If he were CEO and he turned in a performance like that, would any corporation in America, any Fortune 500 corporation in America, keep him on as CEO? Donald Trump lied over and over and over and over again. And Joe Biden couldn't respond to any of those lies. In fact, as the New York Times said, he spent much of the night with his mouth agape and his eyes darting back and forth.
Okay, so this is Joe Scarborough just months ago saying he's the best he's ever been.
An F you if you don't agree. Are you kidding me? This is our media?
And why would you ever trust these clowns again? Guys, don't go back. Don't be like the battered wife that gets beat and then goes back. Don't do it. They've told you who they are. Believe them. Stop watching. Stop giving them your time, your energy. They are water carriers. They are not journalists. They are propagandists. You want to find a real journalist? Go talk to Alex Berenson. Matt, go read Alex Berenson or Matt Taibbi or The Free Press and Barry Weiss or Glenn Greenwald. Like, go find people who will admit their politics lie on the left, but they care more about the truth than they do their politics. Go find those people. And guess what? They're not working for any but big publications. They're working on Substack and for themselves. This is nuts. All right, go ahead.
More lies, and us conspiracy theorists, and we've got another clip from an actual doctor, too. But with the whole Parkinson's, you know, where people have said that there's been a part, apparently Alex Berenson truly broke this story, but then New York Times wrote about it and didn't give him any credit. So we want to give Alex Berenson credit for this because he's the one that found this. Because all of us that like or that have been noticing this cognitive decline over the past several years is more definitely even more so in the past few months, you know, we've known that he's been showing the signs of this, but they keep denying it. And even now, they're still denying it. This was just a couple of days ago. So look, this is where, like, I'm not trying to be nice to the people who are being mean to us, but it's like we're in two different worlds. And it truly is, what are you absorbing? What are you seeing? And if you're only watching news like that and the freaking press secretary, you're only going to believe this because look at this. Hang on. So we'll play this from Karine Jean-Pierre. Let me turn it off.
Sorry.
All right. Hopefully y'all can hear this.
Just going back to Parkinson's for a little bit. So to give you some answers here, has the president been treated for Parkinson's? No. Is he being treated for Parkinson's? No, he's not. Is he taking medication for Parkinson's? No. So those are the things that I can give you full-blown answers on.
Meanwhile, the next headline was that, hang on, oh gosh, where is it? That he has been visited, Parkinson's expert visited the White House 8 times in 8 months. The White House has said that President Biden has no signs of the disease and that there has been no reason to update the most recent testing conducted in February. Okay.
His doctor's on the paid off payroll to keep his mouth shut is what it is. Mm. This is like
exactly. And because there is not a law that says the president has to divulge his health reports to the American public. That is, that's actually not a law, which, you know, there's
which
a,
it
a
should be.
I get that. Totally. How about we just judge based on what we see? How about that? Yeah. We don't have to know what his diagnosis is. He mumbles. He looks like he's falling asleep. He looked like he was about to fall asleep in the debate. I mean, at one point, this is what he said that. He said he was about to fall asleep. But let's talk about this, guys. We just watched the debate. And our lying eyes, there's like, you would have to have lying eyes if you did not believe there's not something seriously cognitively wrong with the current sitting American president who is running for re-election. The fact that we're even sitting having this conversation in 2024 in America is still no wonder we all feel crazy, because we live amongst crazy that expects the American people to watch it and to not think, full stop, pump the brakes, he needs to get out. But nobody wants Kamala stepping in. She's, I mean, him with a fraction of a brain might be better than her with a hole in at this point. I mean, I don't know. I mean, she's frightening. Yeah. And like, it's so bad. And the fact that we're sitting there, it feels like we're all being pumped. We're all collectively being pumped that this is our situation and this is what we've got going. Now, people could argue, because what I think is, how in the world, Democrats, did you think you were going to pull this off? And I think one is that we have to know Joe Biden is not really the acting president. He's not. There's no way he is keeping up with everything. And we know this because
concerned with democracy and threats to democracy. How do you feel when we have some other people running, unelected people running our government?
That's it. And it was admitted from what's her name?
Green Jump.
Yeah. KJP admitted it when she said he has advisors that let him know. He's not like, there's advisors that are basically doing his job.
The question, she responded, because the question was from one of our favorites, Peter Ducey. And because one of the headlines recently, or what, one of the things that Biden has said is that he gets tired and like he wants to do everything like before 8 o'clock. Okay.
Yeah.
So Peter's question, first question I even said before I even heard Peter Ducey, I was like, so if there's some catastrophic emergency or something that we need our president, the commander in chief, to make a very important decision after 8 o'clock, are we SOL? Like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
So I know that it's not just the president does have a team. So people are going to argue.
He's got a cabinet. Yeah.
Not just him, but he's got to be able to form a sentence. He's got to be able to say words that are in the dictionary. He's got, I mean, he can't even do that, much less make a decision about like anything really life threatening or like a threat to our security. So and then you have Whoopi Goldberg saying she doesn't care if he poops his pants. She still wants him. She'd still take him over everything. And
you guys,
oh my gosh.
Can you imagine? This is the, where we live though. This is the
thing. Is like where the hatred of Trump trumps.
That's it.
The good of the country. It's right.
That's exactly it. That's what I was going to say. It is, they are so, listen, they've been indoctrinated to believe that he is the most vile and horrible human on the planet, mm-hmm. and that anything is better than him. Mm-hmm. Now, we have to give some understanding that people would think that, because the American press spent every single waking minute of their existence, for the most part, to discredit him, even so much as getting other Republicans to do the same. I mean, he has been one of the press has never given him a fair shake. Imagine, if you will, if Trump had that debate performance. Imagine, if you will, if Trump had said, if you're not black, if you don't vote for me. Like the double standard is so glaringly obvious that now what we're up against is a cult. A cult of people who do not believe, who just cannot see that Trump maybe isn't the worst human on the planet, that maybe our lives were better for the first 3 years of his presidency, take away COVID. Statistically, they certainly were. By numbers, our lives were better. And they're so blinded that they will take literally Weekend at Bernie's over a functioning man. Mm-hmm. And this is where we are. And unless and until this cult wakes up and gets out of the cult, I don't know how we fix any kind of unity in this country, because they don't operate in reality. Mm-hmm. And Trump does himself no favors. We know this, and I want to talk about this point. He said he's not a politician. He said he is a New Yorker. He is a New York businessman. That's how a lot of them speak. They say what they mean. For me personally, with my personality, I appreciate someone who says what they mean, because then I trust them, because I know what they say is what they mean. There's not double speak there, right? Like most politicians do. But this is what I think they thought. Let's talk about why they let Biden. Why did his inner circle, why did Dr. Jill and Hunter let their dad and husband go in front of the entire country and poop the bed? I mean, and just literally look like, I'm not kidding, Weekend at Bernie's. Like, he is standing up there being held up by something, and he is not functioning. Well, why did they allow that?
And it wasn't even allowing it. The next day, Jill was like praising him in front of
you. Answered all the questions.
You did so good.
I mean, that's the standard, that you just answer questions?
Wow.
I mean, you knew all the facts. And what's Trump? He lies.
He lies.
It's so, you guys, that's all they have. All they have is just people who hate Trump. But what's happening is that the American public is waking up. And this is the most encouraging thing that we can see, is his numbers are dismal.
People are coming out of their slumber, and they are realizing.
The shift is
happening for sure.
Because the week before, they're calling it all clickbait from the far right every time they show a Biden gaffe. They're saying, oh, don't believe your lying eyes. No, he's great. He's great. He's fine. Literally days up to this debate, they are holding the line.
We have fake, all these people have the time in their day to make fake AI videos of Biden to show that he is messed up. Like,
so then why? Well, I don't understand why the press went all in, doubled down, and called the far right liars about his cognitive abilities, only to have him go in full view of all men on a debate stage and prove he is not there. It makes no sense. So then the question is, who did this on purpose, or are they really that dumb?
Or and were I'm they not- banking on the fact, like you said, Holly, before we start recording, were they banking on the fact that Trump would be unhinged,
right,
angry, and just Biden could just sit there and be quiet and look like the more, what he's tried to run on, like peace and unity, and I'm the nice grandpa and all this
he's
stuff.
Not. He's
well,
not.
Trump, to his credit, was very self-controlled, very reserved, very just let Biden just dig his own grave as he spoke. A couple of times, like Kristen said, he looked over like almost like concerned.
When
he was completely losing thought and speech.
He would be like it was uncomfortable for him. It was uncomfortable for him. And then I just thought, I mean, the debate was over in the first 90 seconds, y'all.
I think they're realizing right now they could bank on Trump hate with the first election.
Yeah.
They can bank on that now.
Yeah.
There's
still
people definitely that hate Trump so much they're going to get
Karen.
It is a lot less of them. It's a lot less of them. And I do want to at least tell y'all, there is another candidate. Like, there's people in here, you may hate Trump. RFK Jr., Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he's an amazing man. Go
and the media is just sitting here calling him crazy.
The media, they are not giving him 1 second of exposure. Not one. So to me, I'm like, okay, you can hate Trump, but you can't, I mean, if for anybody to vote for Biden right now, Holy moly.
You don't care about your country.
No, you don't care about your country.
Well, here's what should have happened. Here's what should have happened. The Democratic Party should have allowed RFK. They should have had a convention where they were going to do the nomination, and RFK should have been allowed to be a part of that conversation. Instead, they didn't. They chose Biden. They went with the incumbent. And now they're stuck with him because unless he steps down, there's nothing they can do right now. The money that's raised goes to him or Kamala. They don't want Kamala either. Okay. They're stuck with this person that we knew in 2020 was having cognitive issues. Like, this is not new.
No.
And so you ran on him. They would have been but see, here's what they did. See, RFK is not an insider, even though he's a Kennedy. He's not an insider. They've even gotten his own family to speak out against him. And it's mostly because of his stance on vaccines. They want to call him an anti-vaxxer. And he will tell you, I'm not anti-anything. I'm a pro-science and I'm a pro-informed consent person. But he has come against the big pharma and the big corporations and the government entities and agencies that collude with them against the American public. In our minds, for us three, we think that makes him heroic. Mm-hmm. It does not make him crazy. It makes him heroic. And so Kristen's right. There is a third option. And the fact that the Democrats did not even allow him into the conversation is to their own detriment. To be honest, and I think I can say this on air, when he first said he was going to throw his hat into the ring, we were like, how cool would it be if it was Trump against Kennedy? Because at least either way, we know that the policies, we're not talking about personality, the policies they want to run on make a lot of sense for Americans.
Right.
Right? They're not woke. They're not doing all this crazy woke stuff that the Biden administration has championed and pushed. Title IX, for example, letting men, biological men and women sports, absolutely not. Things like that, they have great stances on. We thought, hey, now that right there, we would feel good about the future of America if we had those options to let them hash it out and figure out who to vote for. But we always knew Biden was a disaster. And look at what's happened to your country. Is your life better? And this is not, I'm not telling you who to vote for. I don't want to. That is not, we don't do that. But it's just common sense says, is your life better in 2024 than it was in 2019? And if the answer to that is no, then you have to revisit if you want more and more of the same policies for the next 4 years and what that will do to our country, especially to the border.
Right.
Because they're not doing anything about the border.
What I've always done with presidential thing, you know, presidential elections and everything, before all of this political everything, I wasn't political. I hated politics. And so I would vote for, I've been independent because I would always vote based on whose policies do I like better. And that's honestly how I feel like most people, I don't like going straight down party line. I want to know, what are you going to do? Of course, it's always been hard to trust. If the person I pick loses, it's just like watching sports.
You accept
it and go on. Like, it sucks. It, you know, it's not what you wanted. It's not the outcome you wanted, but we have to suck it up and deal with it for the next 4 years. I've never sat there and just dwelled on, oh my God, oh my God, what is that going to do for you? And that is what every single person did who hated Trump so much. It's like, why don't you just accept it and say, okay, let's deal with it. And that's what I did with Biden. When Biden won, of course, I was like, oh, you know, whatever. But it's
Hoping he'll be good. You're hoping he'll be good.
Yes.
Trump said he was hoping, honestly, y'all, most of us were really hoping, maybe we were just thinking he's going to be shitty and he's going to do an okay job. He has completely killed our country.
Yes.
I mean, like, he has driven it into a hole that has dug another hole, that's dug another hole. I mean, it's like, I don't want to be extreme, but we are so worse off financially, so much worse off with a national security threat, with the border, with just everything.
Like,
I wanted it to be better. I was ready for it to be better. I was hopeful. I hated it, but I at least was like, okay, let's just pray it's going to be better. It's going to be okay. We got 4 years and then we'll address it then.
Yeah. Well, it's like when Obama was elected, I did not vote for Obama. But I remember when he was elected, I was like, I hope he's not successful on what he ran on, because if he is, our country will not be better. It will be worse. And I was right about that, because like universal health care and the whole Obamacare was an utter disaster. Remember that that was what they voted. They voted on a bill that was thousands and thousands of pages that no one had read through, and that Nancy Pelosi said they had to pass so they could read it. That's our government working for you, friends. Mm. Oh my gosh. But in any case, I remember thinking, I'm glad we elected a president of color, because hopefully we can put a nail in that race car coffin, which it didn't. It only made it worse.
It's gotten worse.
He did nothing for black people, by the way, that I can, like, for the black community, I can't see what Obama did for them. And so I remember thinking, well, I hope he's successful and that the country's successful. I wasn't going to sit there hating on him forever. That doesn't do anyone any good. Did I like him as president? No, I don't. I don't think he was a good president. In fact, I think he did such a bad job that most of us will never know how bad he did, because Trump came in and immediately executive ordered so many things. And that's a whole nother conversation. But went in and started trying to undo a lot of the damage that I don't know if we even know how bad it was. But I think that this Biden administration is Obama part two. That's what I think. I think if you want to know who's running the country, it's someone around Obama and the Clintons. That's what I think. The old regime is still running things, and they're still trying to accomplish their objectives through Bernie. From Weekend at Bernie's, not Bernie Sanders. Yes. Okay, but can we also talk about the fact that the Supreme Court said Donald Trump does have presidential immunity, and that needed to be protected. Mm. When that came out, there was a lot of split. People on the left were screaming, well, now then, Biden, if you have immunity, kill Trump. I mean, I can't believe that people are allowed to say that and the Secret Service isn't showing up at your house. But here we are. They're calling
for... If it was the other way around, they'd be knocking on the door of that person and throwing them in jail.
Yeah. And they're not off social media, but we are, Holly. Right. We can't.
So...
immunity standards.
Total double standards. But then I think those of us who are rational... we were like, well, yeah, you can't put the president on trial after his term. And that's what would happen. Every party would go put a president on trial after his term for everything they didn't agree with. Like, that would be maddening. Like, the president is in a highly unique position. And I'm not saying he should get away with any kind of crimes. Although, let's be real. I don't understand why Bill Clinton lied under oath and he got away with that. But he did while he was president. I mean, presidents have gotten away with tons of things. But the problem is that the left can't even stand the thought that Trump could get away with anything at all. I mean, that they can't. And so this just sent them, sideways when this.
They're not thinking about what's going to happen when it's their candidate in office. And we can just start trying them for every old thing. And it's not given a blanket immunity from what I understand. And I don't understand all of it like fully, because like the legal stuff just kind of blows my mind, but there's like three tiers to it or something like that, where it's like conditional depending. Like if there's a situation that's like, you got to make a decision and it's really hard, but you're doing it on the behalf of the American people, whatever, then you might have immunity for that decision, whatever that may be. But it's not like willy-nilly, like for every little thing you do in life, you just can never get in trouble.
No.
I mean, I don't know. There's like, it would have to be, I forgot what the words were that they used, but like it would go to court and they would decide if it was,
I can read
it or not, basically.
I'm going to direct y'all, and I will put it in our Substack, because Jeff Childers with Coffee and COVID, we talk about him all the time. He explained it so well, and it's a rather lengthy Substack, but he was saying that before Trump, no president was ever prosecuted for a crime, not for joining an Iraqi wedding, not for illegal wars, not even for jaywalking or running long sprinklers on a Tuesday. Prosecutions were never ever happened, presidential prosecutions. So he said, before Trump, presidents obviously enjoyed de facto total immunity. The unspoken rule that everyone followed was that nobody can prosecute the president or even a former president. During the period the de facto total immunity rule reigned, the Supreme Court never had to address presidential immunity. There were no cases. That's how absolute the immunity was. But now the court has crafted a de jure legal rubric. presidents who do illegal things can be prosecuted. They can now be prosecuted much more easily. In fact, just not for nuisance claims like the creative trumped up claims brought against President Trump, such as for notating his check stubs wrong. Let's do a little thought experiment. Evidence shows President Obama was involved in the now discredited Russia dossier matter, which was used as a false predicate to spy on the Trump campaign for partisan political purposes. Evidence suggests Obama knew the dossier was fake, purchased by the Clinton campaign. Yesterday's new three-tier test provides a clear procedure for prosecuting Obama for those very serious allegations. In other words, the high court incinerated de facto presidential immunity and replaced it with a clear de jure prosecutorial process. Former and future presidents susceptible to more serious crimes than Trump's are now fair game. Okay, so, and he said, I even got a very reluctant AI chatbot to agree. So he's like, the irony. By bringing all these silly creative claims against President Trump for keeping a few boxes of, quote, classified documents, and because his bookkeeper wrote the wrong thing on a check stub, the Supreme Court got an unprecedented opportunity to end forever the silent, implicit protection previously enjoyed by every other previous president. The de facto absolute immunity is gone, never to return. Now it's open season on serious crimes committed by presidents. That's why they're mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And here's the thing. There's a proverb that I've always stood on when people are coming against someone like it's a witch hunt. It says, whoever digs a pit for someone else, he instead himself will fall in it. Whoever tries to roll a stone, it will instead roll back on him. You don't do witch hunts. Don't participate in them. Don't start them. Don't start nothing. Won't be nothing. Don't do it. Why? Because it will come back to you. It's a sowing and reaping. It's a karma principle right there. And the more they have gone after Trump for these kind of petty things, ultimately, in comparison to what predecessors have done, and I'm not saying Trump's innocent of everything in the world. Lord knows. Listen, he is. The whole Stormy Daniels thing is a whole thing. But at the end of the day, Bill Clinton did the exact same thing and paid off Paula Jones. And I can't believe we just don't talk about that. But we're going to focus on Stormy Daniels. It's kind of crazy, right? But here's the point, is that as they've gone after him, he's only gotten stronger. He raised $500 million, was it last month? Was it I think it's a record. It's a record. And guys, it's not billionaire donors necessarily doing all this. It is the mom and pops in America. It is middle America going, here's 20 bucks. I'm sick of this. You know what? I'm sick of it. And I think that's what's happening. He is a populist candidate. There's no question. And I think that people have used that to try to make fun of middle America and say they're uneducated and stupid. But again, if we're going to talk about irony, the great irony is that in this day and age, it's not middle America that's stupid. It is the educated elites that think their crap doesn't stink and they're better than everybody else. And they're sitting up there in their hoity-toity white towers, looking down on the rest of America, looking down their noses, thinking that they're better or smarter, when in actuality, you're the same idiots that are pushing things like letting biological men compete against women, that you're saying things that follow the science, but the science clearly is bought and owned by pharma and the U.S. government. I mean, you in fact are the idiots. That is the great irony of 2024, is that the people everyone thought was smart. Look at Harvard. You're now a joke with what you have allowed into your school. You are a joke. None of us want our kids to go to Harvard. If you have sense, it is the last place you want your kids to go. Most of us are pretty concerned about all of our academic institutions because every idiotic idea that is now at play in American politics has come out of there.
Yep.
It's so crazy. So now the foolish things of this world are now confounding the wise. It is middle America who says, guess what? Women are women. Men are men. You don't get to choose it. It's how you are born, male or female, with XXXY chromosomes. That is the science. Also, I'm not going to take an experimental vaccine. I don't trust the U.S. government. I definitely don't trust pharma. I saw what they did with the opioid crisis. I mean, come on.
But they're so deplorable, Holly. Deplorables.
Yep. And that's how they demonize them, just like they call us anti-vaxxers. Let's just find a term that we can just demonize half of America. I mean,
probably more than half.
More than exactly. I mean, the thing that I was having a conversation with one of our listeners just today was the fact that, when she said, we're just so like-minded. And I said, well, what we found was there's a lot of us that are like-minded, but we didn't know until we started the podcast and we started having people come out of the woodworks to say,
well, until we started talking. And that's what we want everybody to have the courage to do. We all tell you just to think, but you also need to do. You need to start talking, and you will be surprised. Get over the fear of losing people and be excited about the people who are going to come in your life, and be excited about knowing the people who do think like you, and you may not know it. You might be surprised. But really, I wanted to say while you were going on that, I love your rant. And
sorry.
But it reminded me of our entry in the Yankee Doodle Soup. Like, Jenna McCarthy's like, y'all need to go read our passage. Because it was basically like, the idiot, the experts who are baffled are actually the idiots,
Yes.
We've turned into the experts, and the experts are the baffled idiots, yes. Like, right is wrong, wrong is right. Like, so just,
yeah.
It's a really good book, y'all. And it's Yankee Doodle Soup for the fringy tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorist soul. And we have it. You can't see it. It's Jenna McCarthy. We had her on. We're going to have her back on. But anyway, go check it out. It's really
check it out, guys.
A great book, a whole collection of a bunch of people that y'all probably know and love that have submitted some entries to this. And it's just it's lighthearted. It's fun. It's funny. It's interesting. And if you use Just Think, it'll support us. It does not give you a discount, but it does support us.
And Jenna McCarthy was the co-writer with Pierre Corey's The War on Ivermectin, in case you didn't remember. Imagine our lives, girls, if we had not been introduced to people like Pierre Corey and gotten to know him, Dr. Peter McCullough, whom we love and adore. I mean, I remember when we were interviewing Dr. Ryan Cole, he said, you know what the coolest thing about this is that we've all gotten connected and we otherwise would have never met. But those of us who were fighting and speaking out, and these are doctors. Kristen, Amy, and I, we're not doctors. I mean, Kristen's a nurse, but we literally can read. As Jimmy Dore said, we could read. We could just read. And we could start to find that, there's some evidence that points to this, that, and the third, and maybe it needs to be looked at when it came to the pandemic. And that's really how this whole podcast started. But you know what? Now that I think a lot of our listeners know the truth about COVID, because if you're paying attention, you know the truth about COVID. We also know that the bird flu is probably the next, quote, pandemic they're going to try to scare you with. And we just did a recent episode that we're going to point you to with Dr. Victory from the Wellness Company. And she explains to you that the bird flu is not dangerous to humans, by the way. And the reason why I bring this up is that in our headlines in the last 2 weeks, was that Moderna was being given $178 million from you, taxpayer, from you, from us. $178 to Moderna, a company that never in 20 years posted a profitable quarter, not one, until the COVID vaccine. They're given $178 million to create a bird flu vaccine. Raise your hand if you want to take it.
That will be a hard no.
A hills no.
A hills no. Never, 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 ever.
No, the people who've gotten the bird flu, they have conjunctivitis. They have their eyes itch, like pink eye. And they work on farms. So if you're not working on a farm with chickens, probably not at risk of the bird flu. I don't even think they've been able to prove that it's human to human contact, right? I think still they think it's bird.
No, it's still animal to human. And she said in our podcast, if it becomes human to human, it's because they're doing gain of function and they did it.
Oh, wait. I'm sorry, Amy. Gain of function? They do gain of function research? Do we know
that now? Not according to Fauci.
Remember when Fauci lied about that too?
Fauci lied. People died.
Listen, you remember when Dr. Malone told us, I think he's a CIA operative. This was with we'll point you back to our interview with Dr. Robert Malone, the creator of the mRNA. He's the creator of the mRNA technology, and he was fascinating, and he can talk right over my head. He is so smart, but we love him. And he was like, he has to be a CIA operative. I think he said it in the recording. He said, because there's no way anyone continues to get away with what he's gotten away with unless he's protected.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Which is,
look at all the crap he's done. Speaking of protection, I do want to at least point out, I did write a couple Substacks about this, and y'all, I have a childhood vaccine series that I've been working on. I've had
It's been crazy this summer. I will get back to it, I promise. But I did just put a couple things out that are really important. Number one was how bad is my batch? There's a great article about that, like looking at hot lots, not to induce fear for anybody, but like it is interesting if you want to know, like, you know, if your lot is good or bad. But it's like they're all, I mean, they're not great, but it answers the question as to like, why do some people get like 7 boosters and still okay? Very well, yeah. Maybe because of that. But the most important thing is Aaron Seary's testimony in New Hampshire. He already had a really good one in Arizona as well, but that was a few months back. But he just had one. There's a part one and part two on the high wire, but I put it in our Substack, and it has a great, there's also great, I mean, great, not really great, but an incredible eye-opening story that we've known about because we've been following her story. But Maddie DeGary, probably the first child that had like a major issue in the clinical trial. You need to see what happened. We did a reel. We have a video on Twitter. We have it on Instagram, on Facebook. Y'all go look at that because I've directed you to all of the links that you need to watch. And there's also a good Cheryl Atkinson podcast too. It wasn't about the Aaron Seary, but Aaron Seary also testified at a House subcommittee meeting that was really good. And another eye-opening to see both sides, like here's all this evidence being presented from Aaron Seary. And he brings up childhood vaccines because it's all connected, because you've got to understand the bull crap that we have seen with COVID vaccine. It all started with the childhood vaccines. And that's what has opened my eyes even more to all of this too. But you should see what other people, that they are, the people on the other side, they still believe that the vaccines have saved the world. The COVID vaccine and childhood vaccines, they still believe in all of this stuff, despite the, like, just in irrefutable evidence that Aaron Seary presents. Aaron Seary is among several of them, but there's a good synopsis with Cheryl Atkinson and Representative Thomas Massey, because he's the one, yes, that called this subcommittee. He's from Kentucky. And it was really good. I've got some great clips from it too. I want to share it all. But well, I'll again on Instagram somehow.
Listen, I do think we should point out a couple of podcasts, because obviously we're thankful you guys listen to us. We try to bring summaries of other podcasts into our conversations, but do go listen to Cheryl Atkinson. That's a great one that I've been listening to when she does the interview with Representative Massey or Senator Massey. But I will also say her reporting on journalism and mm-hmm. and how corrupt it is. And this is she was with CNN, CBS. Is so fascinating and a real eye opener. I highly recommend that. And then, of course, Tucker. Tucker's had some really great interviews lately. Always very wise with Honestly. We can always recommend her. And I've been listening to Patrick Bet David a little more ever since Chris Cuomo was on with him, and him bringing. I mean, I like it when you get to hear two sides of a story. Of course, Chris is having to acknowledge some truths that he was completely in denial about, although he's yet to apologize. And I always take issue with someone who knows they're wrong but won't apologize. It bugs the crap out of me. But I think you should go check it out. And also, I want to point out Phil McGraw, Dr. Phil, in his Merritt Street Media Now. Go listen to his podcasts. And he has a great two-parter with RFK. He interviewed Trump. But see, the mainstream won't cover it, because he's giving these real interviews, and I'm sure he's offered to interview Biden, but they don't want a psychologist to sit down with Biden. No.
And I still love the Joe Rogan with RFK. That was really, really good.
Oh, that was so good.
I'll link that one.
And can we talk about Sage Steele? She's another one of my new, I'm fangirling over Sage Steele, for the former ESPN news anchor who quit her job or was fired, I can't remember which, over the vaccine mandates. And she just started.
I know her.
Oh,
I've seen some clips, Amy, recently, and it's her that's interviewing these people, and it's Sage Steele.
Yeah.
But I didn't know her story.
Sage Steele, she's like one of my faves. So she's half black, half white. Her father's black. Her mom is white, I believe. And
what a kick-ass name.
A Sage Steele. I mean, and she's a single mom. You gotta be famous
if your name is Sage Steele.
Yeah, yeah. I love her. I love, love, love her. And she has interviewed some really great folks lately. And she's one who interviewed RFK as well. But she interviewed Wesley Hunt and Byron Donalds, two of the Black congressmen. Oh, and they're the ones who told the story, their favorite Trump story, which I thought was really fascinating. And I want to bring this up because I do think, as someone who voted for Trump, and I had girlfriends say, how could you do that? And I understand why, trust me, when I say this, I understand why they ask. Like, I understand if you're watching the news and you're listening to their portrayal of Trump 24/7, like, you would think he really was a demon. I get it. I totally get it. But when they ask, and I would say, I feel safer under Trump, this is what I'm talking about. I don't know if you remember, like, back when I ran, tried to start stuff. this is my take on it. I ran, tried to talk some stuff to us and say this, that, and the third. And Trump was like, tweeted back, basically F around and find out. Like, you want to do this? And guess what? Iran decided they didn't want to F around and find out. And so it all went away. And I would say to my friends, he's got North Korea in check. He's got Iran in check. He's got Syria in check. We're going to pull out of Afghanistan. There's no new wars. Like, I feel safer. And when Trump was elected in 2016, I've told this story before, we were in Europe. So many people wanted to talk to us about Trump. It was fascinating. So many. And they would, and some loved him because they were Brexit people in Britain, and then some didn't because they were more lived in London in the city. But all of them said, you will be safer because he's your president. Because I think if people think you're a little bit crazy and you might pull the nuclear codes, they just don't really want to take the chance.
That's a good thing.
And that's a good thing. So they literally tell the story, guys, and we can we'll put the clip in, Kristen. We'll put it in the Substack so you guys can go see it for yourself. That Trump told the leader of the Taliban, and they had one translator. And Trump goes and sits in this meeting with the leader of the Taliban. He goes, I want to pull out of Afghanistan, but it's going to be a conditional withdrawal. And he said, if you touch one hair on any American head, I will kill you. And they said that the translator sat back like, whoa, like what? And Trump looks at him and goes, tell him. So he translates to the leader of the Taliban. He says he's going to kill you if you touch one hair on any American head. And Trump stands up, reaches in his pocket, pulls out a satellite photo of the leader of the Taliban's home, and walks out of the room. Mm-hmm. That's called the art of the deal right there. I'm sorry. Yeah, you can say what you want to about him. Maybe he's crazy. You could say anything you want. I feel safer. I felt safer when he was my president. I did. And after hearing that story, and then what they go on to say in this interview is why Black America is waking up to the fact that the Democratic Party has not served them. Mm-hmm. And that is what they're on a mission to help people understand. It's not about saying who you should vote for. It's about recognizing patterns and behaviors and things and ideologies that have been a part of culture that we all need to reassess because they haven't served us.
And for promise, us, for promises that keep being made for decades, but never come to fruition. But yet,
well, no one
for the promise every 4 years.
Right.
And nobody wants to talk about Lyndon B. Johnson and what he said. And this is not hearsay, but he said that he did not use the proper terms. He used a slang, derogatory, horrible term, but said that we would have Black Americans voting Democrat for the next 100 years by giving them government assistance. That is so horrific and horrible to me. It makes me sick, honestly. But that's what we're dealing with. I think all of us have had cognitive dissonance about things. For many of us, it was we thought we could trust our doctors. For many of us, it was we thought we could trust the media. We thought we could trust the news anchors. We thought we could trust corporations. We thought we could trust three-letter agencies that are supposed to protect us. When you realize these things are not necessarily serving you or doing what you thought, it is a hard pill to swallow. We get it. We've had to swallow our own jagged pills, I promise. Mm-hmm. But we must wake up to the realities and then change course. Mm-hmm. Can't keep doing the same thing and expecting different results.
Nope.
You know, what else did we need to cover, girls? We have come up on our hour mark. Well, yeah.
I know. One other thing I just want to cover is the SAVE Act.
Yes.
because that's something that's really hot right now that's happening is basically, was it Congress tried to pass an act or a bill that said illegal aliens cannot vote in our elections. And it was denied or turned down like by basically all the Democrats said no. Well, here's the thing. Illegals are not, it is illegal for illegal aliens to vote in our elections anyway. So I think that's their reasoning is like, well, it's already illegal. But so why not add an extra layer of protection, which is what there's a video that I sent you, Holly, which if it's, I mean, I can play it on my phone too.
Yeah.
This girl, Liv Like Alex is her name.
Yeah.
And it's really this girl right here, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. She goes on some rants, but I love what she said about it here. Let's see.
Talk about straight
a controversial topic, wanting proof of citizenship in order to vote in the next president of the United States. The next time Biden mumbles that he's securing the border, he cares about Americans, he respects election integrity, here's a reminder that he opposes the bill that would require individuals to show documentary proof of U.S. citizenship in order to vote in our federal elections. They won't pass it because it's already illegal for non-citizens to vote. But if it's already legal, where's the harm in adding that extra layer of integrity and safety to our elections? It's illegal for them to be in the country, and yet they're here anyway. I guess that amazing legal framework you're defending isn't working too good because you need an ID to buy alcohol, drive a car, but you don't need an ID to vote because you trust non-citizens not to break the law, even though they broke the law to get into the country. And I blame the GOP for this because we have our Speaker of the House that is too spineless to leverage a closed border bill to the Democrats' spending bill. So if you actually care about Americans, you can give us in-person, same-day voting, voter ID, paper ballots, and then you can charge Biden with treason while we're at it.
Yes.
Right. Biden has just come out to say that he would veto if that bill did make it to him to pass the act to make sure that you have to have proof of citizenship to vote. He would veto that.
I mean, what?
So then you have to ask yourself,
why?
Why?
Well, here's the thing.
How do Americans feel like that? I don't care if you are left, right, up, down, all around. If you are an American citizen, do you want people who are not citizens voting in our elections?
No.
Like, would people in France want me just voting for their politics? They'd be like, you don't know enough to, you're not involved. You're not paying taxes. You don't have a say.
Right.
No, you don't. Also, you don't get to do that. But here's the reality also. I don't even want every American voting at this point. I start to hear y'all talk and I'm like, absolutely not. You are so clueless about what's going on. And I'm not even trying to be mean. I'm just saying.
No, I feel like we should have to pass a civics test to be able to vote.
Where you understand basic government. Civics. Like, I can't understand why people say, oh, it's like, for example, if you're one of those ding-dongs that think that we should pay off your student loans because it should be free. And the fact that you don't understand the concept that nothing is free, okay? Someone is always paying for it. You just don't want it to be you. That's where I'm like, no. So the minute someone says they want to vote for somebody because of the free stuff they get, I'm like, no, ding-dong, you should not be able to vote. Like, No, it doesn't work. That's not how the world works.
I just saw something that said, anytime you see government funded, that means it's you.
You. Yep. That means you pay for it. You pay for it. But see, this is the clever thing that they did in America. See, they just take it out of most people's paychecks, so they're not writing a check to the U.S. government every single month. When you have to do that, and my husband and I are entrepreneurs, we have to go write out that check. It'll make you want to vomit when you start to realize that you're giving this portion of your income away for the vast majority of things you wouldn't even support if they asked you. You know, yes, we need infrastructure. Yes, we need a military. Yes, we need roads. We need military. We got it. Understand all that. But when you start telling me what our tax dollars are being spent on going to Ukraine, and that what there was $6 billion that accidentally got sent to Ukraine that wasn't even supposed to be sent to Ukraine. Like, that's when I start to get angry.
And I get angry. Two things I wanted to point out when we're speaking of the money. Yeah. They are giving, there was an article saying that New York is spending millions on more prepaid cards for migrants. And then also I want to refer back to the doctor who just recently got arrested, or the FBI showed up at his door, whatever, and he was interviewed on the High Wire. And he might have exposed it in the hospital. I'm sorry, I'm thinking of, but on that same episode, they shared that our tax dollars are paying for sex changes, the transgender changes in the military. People are going into the military knowing that this is what you get paid for, and that's our money. So,
I mean, could we look any weaker? We got a president who mumbles and falls and admits that he wanted to fall asleep in a debate, shuffles off stage before he's supposed to exit on an international stage. And then at the same time, one of his cabinet members is a man that dresses as a woman. Rachel Levine. Is that what it is? Rachel? Yeah. I'm sorry, whatever you all, that was not the politically correct way to say it, but obviously I'm not here for political correctness, so ask somebody else about that. Okay, but that's what it looks like. And then we have military that people are wanting to join now so they can become a different gender, have different body parts, because you can't change your chromosomes, FYI. Yeah. Anyway, we look ridiculous. It's I thank God that there's not a war on our soil right now, to be honest. Like, right. It's shocking.
But isn't it worrisome that, like, all these international leaders see how weak we are, and they know their time's ticking. If they want to do something, they need to do it quickly before Biden exits, this is their chance to pounce.
Right. I think our only saving grace right now is that we have a stay because they are afraid Trump will get in, and they know retribution's coming. Here's the problem. If Trump doesn't get elected, or RFK doesn't get elected, if Biden gets reelected, we're toast. I am concerned that at that point, they will know they have 4 years to
rape,
kill, and pillage us. I really, truly am concerned that at that point, they will know, because they have known. I think that's why Afghanistan was such a disaster. It's why Russia went after Ukraine. Also, I will say, I do think that Russia was provoked into that war. And I don't think we can say that there wasn't some provocation. I'm not saying it was right. I'm saying when NATO is specifically doing the very things that Russia's saying, just don't do it, we won't have a problem, and they do it anyway. I mean, I'm sorry. I just am like, can we talk? Are we going to have a real conversation about what really happened, or are we just going to play the victim?
Right.
But I think all of this has transpired because they know the U.S. is weak right now. And they're waiting to see what happens in November, because they do know if they start something right now in November, if Trump comes in, it's game on. He's not going to play. Y'all know that. You know he's not. He's going to go start taking names. He's probably already taken names. But I also want to speak to that, too. A couple of things that people will argue, and again, we're not here to defend Trump. We're just here to say the things that the mainstream's not. But, when they asked him, Phil McGraw asked him in the interview, are you going to take retribution on your enemies that have clearly gone after you for political reasons? He said, the best vengeance will be success. He said, I just want to make this country successful again. He said in the debate, he said, I wish Biden had been a good president so I could go retire.
Right.
If you don't understand that there is serious things that hang in the balance, there are some rights that do need to be made. There's some wrongs that do need to be made right. And I'm not talking about vengeance and retribution as much as I'm saying right the ship. We've got to make it to where political candidates can't go after someone who's running against them like Biden has done with Trump. It's beyond corrupt.
Right.
We've got to fix that. Yep. And if we don't, we're in big trouble. So go vote. Get informed. Don't believe everything you hear in the media. And one thing Amy said that I thought was just so excellent after the debate: if this was a surprise to you, it's time to change your sources.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So let's all diversify. And as much as I can't stomach it, I still will go watch CNN and MSNBC to hear what they're saying. It's painful to watch. And Fox News too. I don't like Fox either. So, a lot of things on Fox I don't, because I think it's all bought. It's just all owned and controlled by really big, rich conglomerates. Mm-hmm. So you can't try, but just go read. And like I said, we have a whole list of people in our Substack that we have encouraged y'all to go follow. Go follow them and get the real facts and the real stories.
Yep.
Okay. Well, guys, we're back. You're gonna see us more than throughout the summer and the fall, and we've got a lot of great guests that are going to be joining us for more and more conversations. But if you would subscribe, if you haven't subscribed to our podcast, if you love us, give us a 5-star review, only to help with any of the, you know, Karens that come along and try to state otherwise. And also like and share our content with others just to get the word out. If you're not willing to have a conversation with someone directly, maybe just send them and say, hey, listen to this. I'd love to know your thoughts. That's right. And subscribe to our Substack. You can go to Substack and subscribe to Just Think the Podcast. Kristen is always putting that out. And that's all of the sources from everything we talk about. And again, contrary to what Karen said, we actually will own it when we're wrong. And we have no problem doing that. And honestly, we'd like to be wrong. Sometimes, like, it'd be great to be wrong because what we've been right about is so horrifying.
I don't want this to be true.
I just don't want it to be true. You know? So with that, thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time. Bye, y'all.
Bye. Bye.
I'm